to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You got me for another hour here, and at the top of the hour, again, I want to say Alex Jones has my respect. My respect and love. The man sacrificed a lot, and he's told the truth when it was very, very unpopular and inconvenient. Can people make mistakes? Is it okay for people to make mistakes anymore? I make mistakes all the time. Everybody makes mistakes. Is it okay to make mistakes? It's like we forget how easy it is to make mistakes when we find it convenient to pounce on one person for saying something that inconveniences us. It's just like they do the same thing to President Trump. And that's what I say. I of everything that disappoints me, you know, is some of the terminology that was used in that Truth Media, Truth Social post. And I do think that it's right for us to separate Tucker, Candace, and Megan from Alex Jones just as a matter of sequential posterity, you know. Because, you know, when President Trump came down the escalator in 2016, Tucker, Candace, and Megan were in very different places. Megan's on Fox News, Candace still bouncing around TPUSA and you know, Conservative Inc., and Tucker was on Fox himself. So, you know, the president can rightfully say that his fight predates those three. That's not to say who's right or wrong on any given issue. So Israel, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Let's just say it. Not to say who's right or wrong on the particulars and details of any individual issue, but he can say rightfully so, hey, my fight predates you guys' fight against the deep state and the globalists and even the mainstream Republican establishment. You can't say the same thing for Alex Jones. Let's just look at the record. And the record speaks for itself. I'm 35 on Friday. Alex Jones started doing this when I was 6 years old. I was six. I'm a full-grown man with a beard. I got grays in my beard. I talked about in my podcast on Friday, reflecting back on turning 35. And you know, now birthdays are much more about gratitude and reflection than they are celebration. But you go from being a kid with no teeth to a man with gray in his beard. It's just, you know, time is so precious and such a blessing, such a miracle. You can't discredit time. It's not everything, but it's certainly not nothing. And Alex Jones was doing this when I was 6 years old. So his fight and what he's contributed even predates the president in many regards and in most measurable regards. So in this is very similar in the sense that, you know, when I get a call from a New York Times or Mother Jones or The Guardian or Washington Post, you know, what do you make of this conspiracy theory President Trump continues to posit about the 2020 election being rigged? And I laugh in their face. I go, you think that's a conspiracy theory? No, I think it's a conspiracy. I think it was a conspiracy for sure, but not a conspiracy theory. So to then call Alex a conspiracy theorist or what? And you know what? When I looked at the Truth Social post, my first instinct was the president didn't write this. I'm just being honest. Maybe he did. I can't speak for him, but my first instinct was he didn't write that. Just telling you guys my honest, you know, the way that I go about it. He maybe did, maybe didn't. I don't know. But my first instinct was it doesn't pass the sniff test. It's like even at the break and we were talking about on the you know, in the studio, it's like the French first lady's more beautiful than Candace Owens. Like, I've never spoken to Candace Owens, never been on her show. She's never been on mine. I've never met her. I don't agree with everything she says because I don't agree with everything anybody says except Christ and the gospel. But I don't know Candace Owens at all, and I don't agree with everything she says, but I can definitively say that she's 100 times more beautiful than the French first lady. And it's not even close. It's like, what world are we? What are we doing? What are we doing here? Can we get back to the security of our elections, please? Please, people, can we please find a reprieve in here to get back to the security of our elections? Maybe I'm crazy. If you think so, just drop in the comment to say that we should get back to the security elections other than propping up the beauty of the French First Lady. Go ahead. Fine. We'll be right back on the other side of a brief break. Stay tuned for more.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm honored to be back again this Sunday. I see the dam is cracking in terms of the movement, and we are burning daylight. You know, it's one of those moments where you just wish you could get everybody in the room and say, you know, let's just hash it out and let's get organized here. It's like, because I still don't even know if we should be voting early or voting same day paper ballots. So people are already early voting. And then you got a Finocchio that's leading the entire voter initiative. He's telling people vote early. The great Mike Lindell, who's running for governor here, is like, these machines are, we gotta flood the system on game day. We're not even set about that. Now, you could say, hey, don't telegraph to your enemies what you're going to do, what your game plan is. You know, you hit them with a little helter skelter. Okay, cool, fine. Then the entire thing is decentralized. Then we don't have a movement. We are a rebellion. You know, the MAGA movement, the America First movement, is not a political organization. It's a decentralized rebellion. And if that's the case, then this starts to make a little more sense. And maybe God, you know, God, everything works God's to the good of God's design. Maybe that's some of what we're seeing here. You know, maybe President Trump doesn't even realize that he's breaking the rules-based order. Maybe a lot of us don't. Maybe Israel doesn't realize. Maybe Israel thinks they're getting and maybe they are. Maybe Israel ends up with the Middle East concession. Maybe they end up with the entire Middle East as a concession in this whole deal. I don't know what happens. I don't know. But I do know the petrodollar is the cornerstone of the rules-based order. And to break the Middle East of its oil industry and the would effectively be the final blow to the rules-based order, which is what the entire mainstream media is saying right now. If you read between the lines, read the fine print, MSNBC, Axios, all these other places, blockade, and the blockade is like a nuclear strike almost to the rules-based order. And praise be to God, because the rules-based order is corrupt. And NATO is the number one tool of the rules-based order. We don't need to be defending Finocchio Europeans who don't want to defend themselves and give their continent to Muhammad or Muslims or Allah or whoever else. Communists, China, whoever. I mean, it's open season there in Europe. But it's really close to being open season here too, right? I mean, we're right on the razor's edge. And can we just get back to the security of elections? It's like, can that be our focus? Am I crazy? I'm running for United States Senate, and I hope I we'll see how endorsements play out. You got Michelle Tafoya, who's a world-class rhino, and maybe she gets endorsed now. I mean, if Lindsey Graham's getting endorsed, Michelle Tafoya's probably next, right? And then it's like, okay, now what? Now what do we do? It's like, we do what Ken Paxton did, right? It's like, we're running, okay? We're running. Love you. You know we do, but we're running. And the reason we're running is because we can, in good conscience, stand next to people who, in the most recent presidential cycle, begged President Trump, do not run. Again, that's what I want to say. I almost forgot. I'd be remiss as a United States Senate candidate who's run a statewide campaign in the state of Minnesota, which is the cultural epicenter of American politics. I'd be remiss not to tell the president, And some of the people around him who I do like but have a difference of opinion about certain issues, I'd be remiss not to ask the basic question, why is there all this preferential treatment of these people in this wing of the party that is on the record? And I mean, came to me personally and said, do not take President Trump's literature to the doors in Minnesota. They whipped for Nikki Haley. They said, don't bring President Trump's literature. Don't hitch your wagon to President Trump. Don't put President Trump on your mobile billboard. What do you think? And President Trump's not palatable in Minnesota. Then they knife me in the back. And, you know, the four horsemen of the Minnesota Republican Constabulary, our four sitting Congress members, Finstad, Stauber, Fischbach, and Tom Emmer, who all claim to be pro-life, by the way, but haven't made one oppositional comment to running a pro-choice Michelle Tafoya. I guess they call themselves pro-life incrementalists or whatever it is. In the Catholic Church, we may have a problem with pedophilia and a fake pope, but we don't have any problems with pro-life. The four horsemen here in Minnesota refused to endorse me when it was just me and Amy Klobuchar left. I mean, doesn't that kind of tell you the whole deal? Honestly, and I don't mean to make it personal or make it be about me, because it's not about me. I'm just giving you information. The four sitting Republican Congress members in Minnesota refused to endorse me when it was just me and Amy Klobuchar left. So you come up with a thousand different reasons. You can say, oh, wow, it was hurt their brand. No, it doesn't hurt their brand in their district. Their district's more ultra MAGA than they are. They have to worry about being outflanked from the right in their respective districts because people in Michelle Fischbach's district and in Michelle Fischbach's district specifically are very discontent with Michelle Fischbach's politics. So they have to be worried about being outflanked from the right. They don't have to worry about Tom Emmer has no fear whatsoever that being too far right is going to make him vulnerable in Congressional District 6. Not even close. Not even remotely close. So then you ask yourself, why? Why would they not endorse the Republican-endorsed nominee, especially as articulate and, you know, intelligent and strapping young fellow like myself? Why would they not endorse me when it's just me and Cookie Bake Amy? I don't know. You guys answer it. You guys answer the question. I'll let you decide. You know, maybe it's because I'm such a dumb, crazy, conspiratorial Negro and they just can't be associated with me. That's perfectly possible. I don't know. I'm on here 2 hours every weekend, and the only reviews we've gotten is like, man, Royce, you're really a voice of reason. Thank you. We appreciate it. I get people all the time come up to me now and they say, man, I had a guy come up to me at my mother's job. I won't say where she works, but anyway, there's a guy who randomly comes up to me. He's got his phone up to his ear and he taps me on the shoulder. He goes, I'm listening to you right now on InfoWars. Right. So, you know, Alex has a really big audience and reach for good reason. He's been in it a long time and a lot of loyal people to the show. And I get to benefit from him allowing me to do this on Sundays. But my point is, I'm here on Sundays, 2 hours. No script, no notes. You know, you see here, this, by the way, is I keep this on my desk. This is the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism from June 2021. National Security Council, the Joe Biden administration. This is the only piece of paper we even have on the desk that, you know, the founder's Bible here. I take a peek on in it every once in a while, but it's more for decoration. And then we got the President Trump cereal box. You know, some President Trump cornflakes here. But there are no notes. Am I crazy? Am I a conspiracy theorist? Is anything I'm saying today here on the show or the past several weeks crazy? I don't think so. So again, why do the Tom Emmer, Fischbach, Finstad, and Pete Stauber of the world of the Republican Party not endorse the nominees from their own party when it's just them and the radical Democrats they say they are diametrically opposed to and are fighting tooth and nail to save this country? These are questions that we have to answer. We just have to answer. And with all due respect, Mr. President, I said this the other day on a Spaces on X. I still believe in the president. I still believe that the president is the greatest shot that we have to win or at least to move the football up the field, along with the help from people like Alex Jones and everybody else up and down the line. We got to have a renaissance of the message and the ideas, and we got to have it on the fly, right? Because this plane is going down. So we gotta you know, fix a couple engines here on the fly. But I still support the president. But I'd be remiss not to say at some point here, if I walk up to a man and he's standing in a cornfield and it's, you know, burning up all around him, he's got two buckets of water that are full, I start to think, did you set this fire? Or you don't, at the very least, you don't mind watching the cornfield burn. And that's the point I was making about the rules-based order. Everybody's gung-ho about, you know, Israel wanting us to do this and whether we're doing it for Israel. Well, two things could be true. Israel may want us to do it, and they may see it as beneficial for us to do it, but there still be a much greater agenda. An agenda, in fact, that isn't actually so nice to Israel. And I think the Israelis are starting to figure that out. It's like, NATO, you're not showing up. You know, we're going to do a blockade on the blockade, the Strait of Hormuz. I think Israel's starting to figure out that there's a scenario in here where Darth Vader throws the Emperor down the shaft, and they're getting a little uncomfortable themselves. They're getting a little skittish themselves. Even with the ceasefire, it's like, you know, who knows where these, you know, these bombs that hit Tel Aviv, these cluster bombs that hit Tel Aviv, who knows where they came from? I mean, really, come on. We do know that false flags are real. If we're going to dismiss false flags altogether out of hand, we're not being honest with ourselves, let alone each other. So I don't know what's happening for sure. I can't say for sure. But I can say that the very word secrecy is repugnant. And it's not a sign of disloyalty that people are crazy. And we all know the agenda is still in motion. We know from the lack of prosecutions. We know from the lack of people who have been brought to justice, who have perpetuated the managed decline of our great nation. We know from the lack of accountability that has taken place, the agenda is still in motion. You know, whether it's stalled or delayed, or, you know, it's regrouping or reorganizing, whatever the case may be, we do know definitively that the purveyors of the agenda to kill this country are out there. So the agenda is still in motion. If that's the case, you can't be, you just can't be mad at people who are alarmed. We got to do something, and we got to do something now. I mean, we're 6 months away from the midterms. Now, if the elections don't matter anymore and we're never going to give this government back to the communists, hey, I'm all for it, honestly. If that's how we're going to do business, then let's do business that way. I'm all for it. You're not going to hear any complaints from me. If we make a decision, a patriotic decision in this country, that we will never give the government back to these communists, I am perfectly fine with it. Now, all those out there who say, oh, Royce is a plant. Royce isn't working for the, oh, Royce, you're a leftist. Oh, you're a Marxist, Mark Levin. Oh, you're a Marxist jihadist. No, I'm a Catholic, okay, sir? I know Christ. Ask yourself, do you? I'm further to the right than most of these people. It's because, you know, you talk about constitutional crisis, and I remember we were discussing Trump 2028 and then the constitutional justification to circumvent the two terms and all these different things. And there were these Republicans, and I'm not talking the Massey wing of the Republican Party. I mean, mainline Republicans scoffed at it here in Minnesota. They scoffed. They went, oh, man, there's no way he's going to get a third term. That would be bad for the country. Same people who said Amy Klobuchar is great for Minnesota. And I kind of tipped my hat earlier. I said, I think Lindsey Graham, it's just ridiculous that his name is Lindsey too, right? Not only is he a little squishy and effeminate, but his name is Lindsey. It's like, watch what you name your sons, right? You know, you got to be careful with what you name your sons, okay? Names kind of, you know, carry some spiritual weight, in my opinion. It's like, my son's name is Benjamin, the anti-Semite that I am. Benjamin, my son, right? Royce, right? Future Lincoln, right? I mean, names have weight. Lindsay, fruitcake. I do think that Lindsay is Amy Klobuchar's CIA handler. That's just my opinion. Just an opinion. I don't know it to be a fact, because how could I? I just get the sense when I see Lindsey Graham and Amy Klobuchar and a couple of Parkas there in Ukraine, you know, promulgating a war, I think to myself, CIA, right? And we haven't got much clarity about what all went down there with Ukraine and Russia anyway, and I surely would like some of that secrecy to be uncovered. It's like, what the hell actually happened there in Russia and Ukraine? Let's get back to that. Let's talk about that again. What the heck went on there? How did we... clarity, we can't talk about it because we know dirty hands. Anyway, I'm sorry. I go off on these tangents. I'm sorry. Point being, these Republicans do not support President Trump, or at least... I don't know. Maybe they've been given a green light to you know, go about politics in their respective districts the way that they see fit in order to win, because winning is the only thing that's important. But we find ourselves on a slippery slope here and a clock where if we don't change some hearts and minds, we know the momentum of American culture as it stands today will inevitably bend in the arc of technology and convenience. The arc will bend in the direction of technology and convenience. We know that. We know it now. It's like, if we never want to give the government back to communists, I'm with you. If we say it doesn't matter how we win, I can't agree with that. I can't agree with winning by lying anymore. We can't lie to win. You can't lie your way to heaven. You can't lie your way to Christ. At some point, you gotta dig deep and just go, hey, whoa, we got to tell the American people the truth. See, the very word secrecy is repugnant. And there is some level of things that need to stay classified because we are always at war. And I do agree we are always at war. Now, how many trillions of dollars we need to let the Department of War, formerly the Department of Defense, lose to be at war all the time? That's for the American people to decide. And it really disgusts me. The number doesn't come up more often. Department of Defense, when your government loses $2 trillion, when your government steals $2 trillion, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Don't tell me it went missing. It didn't go missing. Okay? You don't misplace $2 trillion, not even on paper, not even on computers. You don't just misplace $2 trillion. You don't misplace $20 billion here in Minnesota. It's not you know, incompetence. It's foreign policy. They funneled money to Al-Shabaab. I mean, what are we talking about? It's obvious. It's obvious, guys. People are just stealing your money, Minnesotans. I know I'm on Alex Jones, the Alex Jones Show, and we're the crazy InfoWar conspiracy theorists, but when $20 billion goes missing, it's not incompetence. It's not a coincidence. Somebody's getting paid, and it ain't you. When $2 trillion goes missing, some foreign leaders got whacked. Some people got black bags. People got tagged in bags. Some unmanned aerial vehicles. Some UAVs, some things happened with when $2 trillion goes missing. Some things went down. When your government steals, everybody's stealing. When your government steals, everybody's stealing. There is a level of secrecy that's acceptable. This ain't it. It is incumbent upon our leaders, President Donald Trump, the administration, to you know, huddle up. Let's get our messaging right. And I mean, we got to be razor sharp because the momentum is against us. It's not a personal attack. I don't mean it, say it to be offensive. I'm talking to people out in the street, you know, and I know what's important to them. And I know what is, you know, what at least for them is at the top of their mind is like democracy. We have to protect our democracy, you know, and it's like, affordability. And then it's like, you know, every once in a while you get somebody who goes, I don't want to be in a war in Israel, for Israel, in the Middle East, right? So there are these top-ish, and you could say, hey, whether or not it's going to make you popular is secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. I understand that. I'm with you. I'm with you. Abraham Lincoln suspends habeas corpus because he feels he has the moral and spiritual high ground to preserve the country and the Union by defeating the Confederate Army. You could argue whether or not that's true, but he had the stones to do it. I'm with you. I know you got to make tough decisions sometimes. The question becomes, do you have the moral and righteous high ground? Because that is very important if you're going to make those kind of calls. And I just find it to be concerning that we would wage a holy war in the name of Christ with a bunch of people who don't believe in him. I mean, maybe that's just me, but I kind of get the sense that we should be very slow to wage a war in the name of Christ, wrap ourselves in the cloth of Christ with people who openly reject him. I'm not talking about people who never knew Christ, who are just being introduced. I'm talking about people who have a lifelong theology of rejecting Christ. Should be very slow to wage a war, wrapping ourselves in the cloth of Christ with people like this, in my opinion. Just my opinion. And also, because the momentum of secrecy in this country is built up to a point where people are rightfully skeptical of everything they see. And that's part of the problem we're having on the right. People on even on the right, even in the MAGA movement, are rightfully skeptical of everything they see, because we know we've been lied to every which way, you know, three ways to Sunday. We know we've been lied to. We all know it. We know we don't know exactly how or when or where or why, but we know that somebody's not telling the truth. We can sense it. We have an intuition. When that becomes the driving spirit, the prevailing sentiment of the zeitgeist, when secrecy and lies and distrust are the prevailing result of government and the message, the communication, you have a crisis. You have a crisis. That crisis must be addressed. The messaging, it must be addressed. It must be addressed. We have to sort this out. We have to walk people through this step by step, meticulously. And it's like, you know, it's hard to get me to believe that if we're just going to blow the Middle East to hell and take the oil racket and redistribute it the way that we want to, or control it for our own strategic advantage, it just seems to me to be a far stretch that there's a high level of secrecy that goes into that. I mean, at least from the philosophical framework of, like, here's why we're doing this. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. You know, okay, China. No, China, it's not one belt, one road. It's one belt to ass. That's what we're doing. You're going to pay your weight in gold, and we built you. And so all the oil is going to run through America. And if you want to get froggy, then leap. Just come out and say that. I think we could actually say that. And we would have a much different zeitgeist here in our country, a much different political discourse. But hey, you know, that's just my opinion. I know for me, it would feel much better. But I get there's a certain level of secrecy that goes into war too. So you're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a brief break.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want it to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. and then go to the oliveshonestore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm just hoping that we find a moment of clarity here in the darkest hours our nation has ever seen. I was talking about the Chinese earlier, and I've said before on the show that the disadvantage that we have in a asymmetric war with the Chinese is that we're a nation ruled by lawyers, corrupt lawyers, as a matter of fact, corrupt lawyers, and they're a nation ruled by totalitarian engineers, ethno-national totalitarian engineers. I mean, there's a reason why the war games, we always lose the war games held by the, played out by the Pentagon, is because things like that matter. A culture, a nation's culture plays a role in any eventual outcome of military or kinetic conflict. I don't like being up against an ethno-national totalitarian engineer regime, especially with just a bunch of finocchio lawyers. And that's what I was saying earlier about the eye test, the sniff test. of some of these people in the Congress and in the Senate. And it's just a matter of fact, like we talk a lot, American people talk a lot about being frustrated with the two-party system, frustrated with politics. And I'd be lying if I said that I don't feel the same way, because I do. That's part of the reason why I'm running for U.S. Senate. But I also see when you vote in incumbents 93%, you're really saying you don't care. You don't have a problem with the way things are. And I bring up China as just as a cautionary tale. In my opinion, the only way that China catches the car, the only way that China defeats us, you know, even in the long run, is if a Mamdani type of politician becomes president of the United States. And we're, I mean, being the mayor of New York City is a stone's throw from being the president of the United States. People have to understand the significance of being the mayor of New York City. It just in its scope and its public profile. And, you know, there is a communist cry for Mamdani, similar to Luigi, whatever his name is there, that shot the United Healthcare CEO and, you know, on the street in Manhattan. And keep an eye out for that case, because I see fireworks coming there at the perfect and opportune time to be another distraction from the real issue, secure elections, right? They're going to let this, you know, lunatic off. And, you know, you got Tyler Robinson out there. You got Charlie Kirk. I mean, you got a lot. Between now and the election, you got a lot of distractions out there to choose from in terms of, you know, shifting the focus from where it should be. But one place we should be at least tracking is the only way China catches the car is if we elect a Mamdani as president or somebody similar. That's the only way that they actually catch the car and beat us in the long run, in my opinion. You know, or we could have a digital dystopia where, you know, China makes core components or essential parts, and effectively they beat us in the AI arms race. That's possible. You know, it's less likely. I more see it as a danger that we devolve from within with a Mamdani as a president, or even an AOC. I mean, they're the same person, right? That's why they're doing the romance between jihad and Latinx, or whatever they call it these days, the jihad Latin alliance. It's one of those kind of people. It's like Gavin Newsom doesn't have a shot in hell at winning, and for the Democrats to even put him up as a nominee is kind of farcical, in my opinion. And they may do it. I mean, they may actually do it. It's just farcical. He's another mook. He's another, he's another fruitcake. I mean, he really is. Guys who hold their feet, guys who cross their legs under the table are fruitcakes. I'm just going to tell you. You know, maybe, oh, Royce, the ad hominem. So ad hominem, what does that do? You know, that's not mature. It's not statesmanlike. Dude, don't cross your legs under the table, okay? Hold your legs. Sit like a man. You didn't even cross your legs. I don't even like guys who cross their legs in a chair. You know, at the most, you cross your legs down by the ankles, okay? You understand what I'm saying? You cross your feet down by the ankles. You don't cross one leg over your lap come on. We got to go back to the basics here. Honestly, I say it jokingly, but I'm being pretty serious, actually. You know, our standard of men is just like in a crisis. It really is. Our standard of men is in a crisis in this country, and we want to fight wars. It's like you can have a Finocchio culture if you want to be like Switzerland or something, right? If you want to be a non-confrontational country, you can have a Finocchio culture. If you want to be a non-confrontational country, an egalitarian country that's subsidized by a much bigger power, of which you should be a tributary, but you end up being a sort of monarch. A monarch state, and all of the European Union are like a collection of monarch states. We're like the tributary to the EU. But in a right world, if you want to be an egalitarian, subsidized tributary, then you can cross your legs. You can have men that cross their legs, right? But if you want to be a badass global dollar empire, you got to have men who stand up straight, men who could, who can do some damage at the drop of a dime, men who are tough, who are gritty, you know, who like a little confrontation, you know. Well, and look what we've become, right? And we're afraid of the Chinese. I just think we are. I think we're afraid of the Chinese. I think President Trump's calling their bluff every time he gets the chance. I really do believe that. You can't really look at the geopolitics and not see that this latest move to blockade the blockade is President Trump, you know, calling President Xi's bluff. Now, the question is, when President Trump goes to visit, what kind of deal they come out with? And I would venture to guess, and this is just me, and this is a cautionary tale to you, Mr. President, I think that President Xi and the entire CCP believe they can, you know, I believe they think they can wait President Trump out. They can wait out the entire MAGA movement. All they have to do is wait long enough to get an AOC in the seat of power and have control of the government, and enough conservatives will abide by the corrupt rule of law to let this country slip right back into the position it was in. And things are better than they were. Don't let people tell you they're not. We can disagree, and we'd be right to disagree, and we should voice that, and Alex voiced that. He says, listen, I'm alarmed at what I'm seeing with this war and the direction of things. Praise be to God. He's supposed to do that. But we can't say that things aren't better than they were or they would have been. You know, it's like you're shot. Are you shot in the foot? Are you shot in the, you know, are you shot in the balls? Or are you shot in the head? There's a degree of severity there. And the same can be said for a country. Where are you shot? How much blood are you losing? Is a tourniquet even going to work? You know, these are things that just, as a matter of fact, you got to start to assess. And I think things are categorically better than they would have been and than they were. But it's all for nothing if we let the Democrats win. And we have to make strategic choices about the issues that we hang our hat on. Like, for example, if we were just going to go to war anyway without any congressional oversight or any, which I said 7 weeks ago on the show. Thomas Massie still has yet to tell me the math on asking the Congress to do anything when it's captured by a foreign lobby or any special interest in lobby. If the Congress is captured, why ask the president to ask Congress permission to do anything? By default, that would be that should rightfully be seen as an act of treason. If I know my Congress is captured by special interests and lobbies, and I think one of the first things we should think about doing, well, this would be a real tell too. I think a referendum issue should be special interests and lobbies. I think, you know, right alongside the Save America Act, we should bring a bill to the United States Senate before the midterms to put people on the record who really believes in getting money out of politics, special interests and lobbies. We should ban them across the board. You should see broad bipartisan support to ban special interests and lobbies, which you won't. You'll see very little support, which should be the great tale. And there'd be no way we vote in 93% of the incumbents or 94-95% of the incumbents in 2026. We have to get the message right. And it's right for people to say, it's right for people to go, we're alarmed. Not only are we alarmed at the prospect of us getting into another war for the kinetic implications, we're alarmed at what it signals. And if we weren't going to ask Congress for permission, why do we have to do this before the midterms? Why did we have to do this before the midterms and risk President Trump having his agenda stalled by the few, you know, several or so seats they need to swing a majority? Why risk that? It's like we had the perfect coalition. You can't argue with it. It was successful. It was successful. And, you know, President was at the UFC, and it's always good to see him at the UFC fight and good to see the response. It means that at least a portion of our country still has half a brain, right? But I remember him pulling up to the UFC, and it was Tucker, and it was, you know, there was Rogan was there, and all of these people who are now like sort of persona non grata. It's like, okay, well, where's the math then? See, because the Christian Zion, and maybe the strategic, you know, the strategic thing here is, for once, we're going to try and pull on the low propensity Christians by using a Christian Zionist message. Maybe, Hey, I'm just, I didn't make the rules. I just work here, okay? I'm just telling you the way things are. There is a significant, at least on paper, there is a significant low propensity Christian community all across this country. And maybe some people have made the decision. It's more advantageous for us, for our national security and everything else we want to do, to go after the Christian Zionist vote for once. Fine. But then how do you recruit a Michelle Tafoya who's pro-choice, publicly pro-choice? It's almost as if somebody in the bowels of Langley is calling the bluff of American Christians and saying, well, which one is more important to you, Israel or abortion? See, and it's right here in Minnesota. I can feel the spiritual implications of it. Which is more important to you Christians, Israel or life? Which one is more important, Israel or life? And you got to ask yourself, say, the conservative movement, what has been conserved? We didn't conserve the Second Amendment. We didn't conserve the First Amendment. We haven't conserved a pro-life. President Trump, you know, improved the position. But you know, en masse, we didn't conserve it. And it doesn't look like we intend to conserve it because, I mean, the NRSC, who's supposed to be the bastion of conservative Christian, Judeo-Christian values, you know, just got to throw that in there. The NRSC, Tim Scott, Lindsey Graham, and the rest of the gang, they're all conserving the Judeo-Christian ethic, and they recruited a pro-choice candidate to run for United States Senate. Wonder how that'll go over when we have to vote in Supreme Court justices. So you don't plan on conserving pro-life. Is the Alamo Israel? Is the Alamo of the conservative movement Israel? Is that like the one thing we're going to dig our heels in and conserve? And you just got to ask yourself, like, okay, all right. I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't agree. I think it's a grave spiritual indictment of the conservative movement and Christians that Israel would be that another country, another country's problems or threats and dangers would be the Alamo, the rally point, the sort of red line of the conservative movement in America. But hey, fine, let's see how hard you're willing to fight. I know you're willing to fight really hard over there. Let's see how hard you're willing to fight here in America. That's going to be a great tale. Right, because, I mean, if we're willing to go all out, balls to the walls, we're going to fight a war, we're going to put ground troops there on Karg Island or wherever else in the name of Christ, we're gonna fight our way to victory in the name of Christ, a world away. It's going to say a lot about this country's Christian community when we see how hard we're willing to fight here. And if I have to say, I do say so myself, the reason why I joined the movement and the reason why I ran as a Republican is because of my faith in Christ. My love of country, no doubt, and I love the country, and I believe in the Constitution, but my faith in Christ is what made me join the conservative movement, because I woke up one day and to be a Christian or a Catholic was considered white supremacy. I'm pretty fair-skinned, but nobody would mistake me for a white man. My last name is White, but nobody would mistake me for a white man. I woke up one morning in my mid-20s, actually right around the time George Floyd died, and I led this protest to the Federal Reserve, and I had people bow and pray, and a couple days later, I ran into a few folks that gave me some insight about just how hostile the current political climate was toward Christianity. It's like, why isn't every conservative news outlet showing the Christians there in Ethiopia celebrating Easter? Why is conservative mainstream media, Conservative Inc., why are they not replaying the Christians there in Ethiopia celebrating Easter Sunday and Good Friday by the tens and hundreds of thousands? Christianity was in Africa 250 years or so before it ever reached Europe. It's not a religion of white supremacy. Christ wasn't white. He wasn't white. He wasn't black. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. Christ is Christ. But he certainly did. We know where he came from. We know what his ethnic, you know, makeup was. Per the stories. I mean, we could say, and hey, you could make an argument that Israel, you know, that Nazareth and Jerusalem and that place in the Middle East was already, an intersection of a relatively smaller global economy or trade route. So there are plenty of people who were there in Israel, many different skin colors and pigmentations. But ultimately, you know, he was from Israel. Okay. Point being is, in what world do they get off saying that Christianity is white supremacy? That's how you got people like me. That's how you got people like me. That's how we're going to draw people in. That's how we're going to mend. That's how we can only mend the racial divide in this country through the gospel. We can only mend. Let me say it again for the people in the back. We can only mend the racial divide and animosity in this country through the gospel. But I don't think the conservative movement is willing to take the gospel anywhere for the most part. I don't think that the conservative movement is even upholding the gospel anymore. I think we're reaching a point where the gospel may in fact become canceled. I see a future where the conservative movement is actually the political movement that cancels the gospel. Is it anti-Semitic? Is the gospel anti-Semitic? Just go ahead and say it. Say it. Say the New Testament's anti-Semitic so we can get out of the way. A lot of these Christian Zionists are still going to fight for you anyway. Just say it. I mean, don't dance around it. You know, the New Testament is anti-Semitic. Just say it. Just go ahead and put it out there, and then we can watch all these Christian Zionists line up to die for another country anyway. Because they will. And I do think it's that bad. I think we have a nationwide, a cultural-wide metastasization of mass formation psychosis. I really do. And it's across the political spectrum. You can take any number of cultural wedge issues and show you exactly how crazy America is. The gospel anti-Semitic? I see a future where we can't use the gospel to mend a racial divide or any other divides. We have trouble even deciding whether or not in the Christian community the gospel is still something that we value. Questions to answer. But if you go and fight a war and wrap yourself in the cloth of Christ, you sure as hell better have your spiritual house in order. Because hell is the consequence if you don't. Just saying. You sure as hell better have your spiritual house in order if you want to drape yourself in the cloth of Christ to wage a war, because if you don't, hell is the consequence, and hell is real. Just as real as the resurrection, hell is also real, and there are a lot of people there, and there are a lot of people going. Sorry to say it. A lot of people going. A lot of people going who say they're Christian, too, by the way. Food for thought. Food for thought this Sunday evening. We can, look, and all that being said, we can win. We can do this. We can win. I've seen it. I've been on that coach on the sideline, a bunch of 15-year-old boys. They all have their own agenda in mind, right? They all got their own plans. And, you know, you just got to call the time. You got to burn the time out every once in a while. Wait, breath. Give me four. Come sit your ass down. Sit down. Breathe. You're all out of sorts. Breathe. Just breathe. Take a breath. Coach is going to chew you out, but take a breath first so you can hear what I'm really saying. What are the fundamentals? Let's go back to the fundamentals. Stay in front of your man. Can you stay in front of your man? No, you can't. Sub, you get in there. Okay, you take a blow. You watch. Okay, get yourself together because you got to go back in. Stay in front of your man. The help side is late. You're a step late, and a step makes a big difference. Get over there quicker. You have to rotate down and fill. When that pass goes out, you got to scramble. You got to scramble and close out because this kid named Johnny from Indiana, he can shoot that rock. If you don't close out on him quick enough, he's going to spray your ass. OK, Okay. Then I'm going to have to sub you out. And we got to run next week in practice because I just don't think you play hard enough. I don't think you want it bad enough. I don't think we want it bad enough. I think we have, and I'm talking politics now, I don't think we want it bad enough. I don't think we really want to change this country for the better. I think we know what's wrong. I think we have a lot of problems with the country, with the way things are. But I think the convenience is so good, we hesitate to really change it. I don't know. Tell me, am I wrong? Why does the American public vote in 93% of the incumbents? What other possible explanation can you give except we like that we like getting screwed. We love it. We crave to be subjugated. We crave tyranny. We crave tyranny, whether it's overt tyranny so the left can play their secular humanist martyrdom, or we crave like a subtle, sort of passive, you know, tyranny, economic tyranny, right? We crave wage slavery. We crave to be 19th century Russian serfs under a techno-feudal empire. We crave it. We crave subjugation. Even our leaders, some of our leaders are like, bring on the technocracy. I'm like, whoa, hold on, dude. What? Time out. Let me burn another one. Wait a second. We can't be doing technocracy, are we? Okay, President Trump's divine appointment is to break the rules-based order. My generation, we have to take on the digital dystopia. We have to take on the technocracy. President Trump's 80 years old. Okay, he's 80. He's 80. What he's doing at 80 is nothing short of a miracle, honestly. I mean, just got to say that. Disagree or agree. It's nothing short of a miracle. The man's 80. We pushed the Overton window of what we expect from our elders well beyond an inappropriate place, as you can see from the Congress. You know, average age is 60, 64 years old. Some people think you're in your prime. I don't. Our founding fathers certainly weren't at that age when they built this great nation. But we have to fight the technocracy. President Trump's got some key decisions in front of him. And I must say, I kind of like it. I think it's kind of gangster. All the oil's going to run. One belt, one road, done. Belt the ass is the new initiative, the American belt the ass agenda. And we're going to run all the oil. But then you have to double and triple down. We're going to actually run all the oil. No, nothing passes through unless America's getting a cut, a big cut. Okay. But in the end, we still don't like the Lindsey Grahams. Because a man named Lindsey, who talks the way that he does, is never going to lead this country to prosperity. It's been another episode of the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. It's been an honor to be with you again. God bless you all. God bless America. Godspeed. Have a great weekend. I'll see you at 7 a.m. The White House, Free People Radio.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesshow.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at TheAlexShowStore.com, and I thank you for your support.